Tom Karkle in the AM 1400 WRJN News Center. AccuWeather forecast going to be generally cloudy. We've got a chance for scattered showers and thunderstorms developing. We'll have a high today around 73 degrees. Kenosha at this hour, 52. It is 48 in Burlington. Milwaukee, 52 and 53 in Racine. Two new cases of Elizabeth Kenya infection being reported by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services. It says the total number of infections in Wisconsin is now 67. One of the confirmed cases previously reported as being under investigation. The other case, new. The Elizabeth Kenya outbreak beginning back in November here in southeast Wisconsin has since spread to two other states. There have been 19 deaths among those diagnosed, and the source of the infections has still not been identified. Heat Awareness Day around Wisconsin. Things are going to be getting a little warmer in our part of the state. Officials warning the extreme heat can be a killer. Hundreds of people die from the extreme heat and events every year in this country. Number one weather-related cause of death in Wisconsin, far exceeding those in tornadoes and other storms. Racine County Emergency Management Coordinator David Mack says the most important thing to do with really getting hot weather, you got to stay hydrated.
A lot of water. Try to avoid alcoholic beverages. Although, you know, a cold beer may be refreshing, alcoholic beverages will tend to dehydrate you versus hydrate you. And so you want to take some precautions.
He says certainly you want to stay out of the sun as much as possible. You want to check on family and friends and neighbors during extreme heat. Don't forget your pets as well. They can suffer too. Among those at higher risk of heat-related illness, infants and young people, 65 years older and older, and older folks, of course, those with chronic medical conditions, a lot of folks can be affected by extreme heat. That's why you have to be careful. Firefighters from three southeast Wisconsin counties plus northern Illinois called out on a mutual aid fire response yesterday afternoon. A truck equipment business in the Kenosha County unincorporated community of Trevor. Auto truck equipment repair, part of a complex of buildings in the 28,000 block of Wilmot Road in the town of Salem Business Park. The Mabus call quickly elevating to a fifth alarm by late in the afternoon. Many of the requested fire departments have tanker trucks. They were used to haul in water to that scene. Walworth County proceedings against a former West Allis police officer, Stephen Zellig, for ditching the bodies of two women he's accused of killing in suitcases on a rural road. Those proceedings delayed. Case had been expected to wrap up Wednesday with a plea agreement and a sentencing on two counts of hiding a corpse in Walworth County. The judge, though, voicing concern about the rapid pace of negotiations. As a matter of practice, the case is now set for a trial October 3rd. Zellig, 54 years old, already sentenced in Kenosha County to 35 years in prison for the 2012 death of 19-year-old Illinois resident Jenny Gomez, the other victim, a young woman from Oregon, who was reportedly killed in Minnesota. Complaints about the operation of Kenosha County's Kemper Center aired at this week's county board meeting. Speakers claiming the facility is being allowed to deteriorate and is being mismanaged. Kemper Center is a county park on the lakefront, a popular venue for weddings and parties run by the nonprofit Kemper Center Limited. Even Burns telling supervisors mistreatment of female employees goes on. There's discrimination against vendors. It's all common practice. And the county board, he said, should be reconsidering its relationship with Kemper Center.
They rent that property from the county for $1 a year, and they've done so since the 1970s. And we put tens of thousands of dollars of our taxpayer money into it. What is happening with that money? Where is it going? The building's falling apart.
In a statement at WRJN News, Jenny Tunkeys, County Executive Jim Cruiser's chief of staff, said he is aware of the operational issues raised by the speakers at the board meeting, having met with the involved parties and Kemper representatives back in May, trying to moderate a discussion between the two sides. That is continuing. Madison police investigating a burglary at a home on that city's west side, during which the offender dumped the cremated remains of a family member inside the house. Burglary occurred late in the afternoon, entry made through an unlocked door. A gun, ammunition, money taken, according to reports. Contents of a container which held the ashes of the 40-year-old resident's deceased father dumped onto a pan on the kitchen stove. And Madison police, they're going to be under the microscope. The Madison Common Council, after a rather heated meeting, they have approved $400,000 for a study on the policies and practices of the police department. Chief Mike Koval, who walked out of that meeting twice, reiterating his department welcomes the investigation, just questions the price tag.
Besides having words twisted about the police not wanting this, is it time and is it for that price? Those are completely different than saying you're fighting an evaluation. No one has ever been fighting an evaluation.
A number of Madison residents voicing concern about the six-figure cost of that study. Twitter is trying to reassure millions of users their information is perfectly safe despite reports of a major data breach. TechCrunch, among those reporting that passwords for up to 32 million Twitter accounts may have been hacked and leaked. Not true, says the social networking service, a Twitter spokesperson indicating no systems have been breached and they are confident usernames and credentials have not fallen into the hands of hackers. The Milwaukee County Board at its June 23rd meeting going to consider a resolution that would require Uber, Lyft, and other shared ride services operating at Mitchell Airport to have annual permits for each of their drivers and to pay fees for each passenger that is picked up. The parking area next to the Harney's at Green Bay Road and Washington Avenue in Mount Pleasant has not been repaved because Blaze Pizza is going to be going into a new building in that spot. The Village Plan Commission approving the site plan. Most of the discussion, though, at the Plan Commission meeting centering on an old sign for Big Lots on that site and how to legally get rid of it. Development Director Logan Martin noting the sign should have been dealt with years ago, but the property owner let it slide. Now it's affecting plans for this new business despite recent efforts at a resolution.
You know, when Big Lots first came in and we approved the site plan, it was recommended at that time that the sign be removed, and it was one of the original conditions. The landlord at the time said that if Big Lots doesn't get that sign, they're not going to sign a lease, which I think they could have figured out a way to get the tenant to sign a lease. You build a new sign at that time instead of what we're trying to do today. But now, because of that past mistake, we're dealing with the sign again, this time actually being a non-conforming sign on another property.
In addition to the site plan approval for Blaze Pizza, a letter of understanding calls for the landowner to work as quickly as possible to get that standing Big Lot sign removed. U.S. Occupational Safety and Health Administration says Wisconsin-based Ashley Furniture has agreed to pay $1.75 million to settle alleged safety violations at the company's plants in Arcadia and Whitehall, Wisconsin, as well as two sites in Mississippi. Agency says Ashley Furniture entered into corporate-wide agreements aimed at protecting workers from machine hazards. Company will retain a vice president for safety, as well as implement safety measures to protect employees, and will have to submit annual status reports to OSHA during the two-year agreement. Racine-based S.C. Johnson's applauding final passage by the U.S. Senate this week of legislation providing critical reforms to the nearly 40-year-old Toxic Substances Control Act. Here's WRJN's Janet Hoff.
Fiske Johnson, company chairman and CEO, says in a news release, this modernization of TSCA raises the standard for all companies and can help provide the public with confidence that the products they use in their homes are safe for their intended uses. The changes include EPA being required to systematically prioritize all chemicals currently in commerce, a safety determination before any new chemical can be brought to market, and fees on industry to help defray the costs of administering the revamped TSCA program. The SC Johnson news release also points out that in the last 16 years, the company has used its Green List chemical management system to ensure the use of the best and safest ingredients in its products. Janet Hoff, WRJN News.
WRJN newscasts are in podcast form on our webpage. You go to WRJN.com, you'll look in the local news section to find them. At WRJN News, that is for our Twitter updates. I'm Tom Karko, WRJN News.